We're looking at a resolution by House Democrats to block President Trump's national emergency declaration to fund the border wall. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. If the bill passes the House, the Senate would then be forced to take it up, putting Republicans on the record on whether they support the president's use of executive power. So should Congress attempt to challenge the president's order, or is this move by Democrats problematic to you? The wrong move at the wrong time? Let's talk about it at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Andra Gillespie is an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta and a political analyst. She teaches courses on African-American politics, political participation, and race in elections. Andra, welcome back to the Ideas Network. Hi, Andra. Welcome back.
Thanks. How are you?
Doing well. So let's look at what House Democrats introduced this resolution Friday to block President Trump's action on this emergency declaration. They are arguing that this undermines Congress's power of the purse. Can you help us understand their reasoning for the resolution?
Well, because President Trump invoked the National Emergencies Act in order to provide some of the funding that he is doing for the border wall, Congress does have the right to respond, because basically the National Emergencies Act gives the president the right to kind of reappropriate funds, and that's actually Congress's purview and responsibility. So they still actually do have some say-so in what goes on there. And so basically by challenging whether or not this is a national emergency, because the National Emergencies Act is actually pretty vague about what constitutes a national emergency, this is an attempt for the legislative branch to put a check on the executive branch and taking sort of this power that's kind of been given to them that's highly unusual. So basically this would be Congress's attempt to kind of veto it, but because it kind of goes through a sort of expedited bill passage process, the president actually does have the right to veto their resolution. And then if Congress can muster, both houses can muster two-thirds veto override, then that would actually stop the president from being able to reallocate the parts of the budget that fall under the purview of the National Emergencies Act. Not all of that. I think the reallocation will fall under that, though. But, yeah, this would be a way of them telling President Trump that he can't do an in run around Congress to be able to get the money that he didn't get in the most recent budget resolution.
Do we see House Democrats pretty much in lockstep here? Who really is pushing this resolution? Where did it come from?
Well, I mean, I think it comes from the fact that President Trump's invocation of an emergency here is highly controversial. So, you know, there have been national emergencies in the past. There have been times where the president has reallocated previously allocated funds from the budget to address national emergencies. So, for instance, when you have to do that in the wake of 9/11, for instance, I think, you know, most people agree that, you know, that's a highly sort of unusual circumstance, and that's not something that could have been anticipated, in an earlier, you know, budget type of deliberation. But to do it for the border wall, you know, to declare a national emergency when President Trump said it wasn't a national emergency, that he was doing it for expediency's sake, and to do it right after Congress had basically agreed to not fund the border wall at the level that he had requested. You know, there are many people who view this as sort of not keeping with the spirit of the National Emergencies Act, and actually not keeping in the spirit of separation of powers as articulated in the Constitution. So, I mean, you know, this is in part Congress's attempt to exert checks and balances on the executive branch.
So the House is controlled by Democrats, and it seems all but certain that this will pass. And Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has said there were plans to introduce a companion bill in the upper chamber. Does this resolution stand a chance in the Senate?
Well, it has to come up in the Senate so Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, can kill it because this is highly unusual. It actually has to get taken up within 18 days of passage in the House. So he has to take it up, and it does actually have a chance of passing, in part because there are Republicans who are uncomfortable with the president's use of executive power in this particular way to try to use the border wall, and it's highly controversial. So, I mean, I don't think it's a sure thing that it gets through the Senate, but I think the question is, if it does get through the Senate, it is certainly going to be vetoed by the president. And then the question would be in both houses, just given how narrow the margins are actually in both chambers, whether or not you could either chamber could muster the two-thirds majority needed to override President Trump's veto.
We're talking about a House resolution that aims to block President Trump's use of a national emergency declaration to fund a border wall. Andra Gillespie is our guide. She's an associate professor of political science at Emory University. And as the political back and forth continues over border security, what do you want lawmakers to know? What questions do you have? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Roland now from Waukesha. Hi, Roland. What's on your mind about this?
Well, it just seems to be a non-issue. We're a nation that just blows huge money on everything. We just raised our defense budget by $70 billion a year. So if the wall is that much of a security issue, take some of that $70 billion raise and spend it on the wall. Like $20 billion, you know, it's likely that the wall is going to cost three times what they say anyways. Take that money and spend it. And at least if it doesn't work down the road, it'll get jobs for certain Americans and maybe increase the economies around the border.
So what Roland is saying there is this is more about politics than it is about the actual cost. Andra?
Well, I mean, I would actually sort of encourage him to think about the institutional roles and making sure that we preserve those roles. And so the issue here is that if Congress saw fit to allocate, you know, $25 or $60 billion to build the border wall, it was their responsibility to do so. The president's job, the executive branch's job, is to execute what's put in. And so they had a very vigorous debate about how much money to give to the wall. They chose in this latest round to only give a little less than $1.4 billion towards that wall. And so because Congress, because the people get to dictate how the money gets spent, it's a question of whether or not you let the president rewrite the budget, essentially, right? And that's not supposed to be the president's responsibility. That's an Article I responsibility. That is Congress's job. And so I think the big issue is not just the politics of it, not just, you know, the optics of the wall, but the idea that the president could lose a legislative battle. And then figure out how to do what he wants, you know, over and above that. And that's the issue that's at stake. And so, you know, we've talked in the last, you know, 50 years about the rise of the imperial presidency, where the president is getting more and more power. This is an issue where it looks like if Congress does not stand up to the president, some people are going to argue that you've now given the president so much power and they don't have any reason to try to sort of respect the divisions of power that the framers put in place when they wrote the Constitution.
We're talking with Emory University political scientist Andra Gillespie about a move by House Democrats on Friday introducing a resolution to block the president's national emergency declaration. And it could come up for a vote tomorrow in the House. How do you want House members to vote on this? Do you want the Senate to take this up and be on the record about the national emergency declaration? We're at 800-642-1234. You can share your thoughts by email at ideas@WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll be back to this conversation in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about the resolution by House Democrats to challenge President Trump's national emergency declaration. President Trump is pledging a veto if Congress passes the resolution. Republican Representative Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, who also serves as a lieutenant colonel in the Wisconsin Air National Guard, was recently deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border. He said, based on what he's seen, there is a national emergency. And here he is yesterday on Face the Nation talking with moderator Margaret Brennan.
I won't vote to try to block it. Look, I wish this would have happened a different way. I voted for comprehensive immigration reform. I think Republicans and Democrats both have good ideas on immigration.
But you think this is constitutional for the president to bypass the power of the purse strings of Congress?
Yes.
So what do you think of the politics at work here? Are you for or against this attempt to upend the president's border funding plan? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Andra Gillespie is with us. She is an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta. Andra, this is a legislative pushback, you know, against the president. Is Congress out of line, or is this a proper role for the legislative branch?
No. I mean, I don't think Congress is out of line at all. The framers anticipated and wanted to have three co-equal branches of government. They wanted power diffused across these three branches so that we weren't in danger of recreating the monarchy. That was what we were leaving when we broke off from Great Britain. So it is actually Congress's responsibility to provide a check and a balance on the president. They should, you know, keep the powers that they have. They are responsible to oversee what happens in the executive branch. So there are lots of things that, you know, may look uncomfortable in a highly partisan environment, but that are absolutely supposed to happen. So Congress gets to sort of set the tone, you know, when Congress gets to set spending. So even though the president offers up a budget, it's actually Congress's responsibility starting in the House to introduce a budget bill, which means they get the right to write the budget. It also means that Congress has the right to oversee the executive branch, which means they get to call in members of the administration and ask them what's going on, because they have the right to fund everything that's going on in the executive branch. And if they don't like what they see, then they have the right to defund it.
Let's go to another call now. Gary is joining us from Merrill. Good morning, Gary.
Yes, good morning. I don't think there should be any emergency at all. Congress should do the same thing that they did with President Obama and President Bush. They should give him the money that he wants for his portion of the wall. The way it's talked about, there's no wall at all. But we got to remember, there's hundreds and hundreds of miles of wall that were put in by other presidents. And it is our president's responsibility to secure the borders. And Congress, while in the Democrats, there isn't anything that this president would like to do for the country that they don't oppose for political reasons.
And so what Gary's saying, Andra, is kind of echoed in what Senator Lindsey Graham said this weekend on Fox News, and I want to just play a clip momentarily here.
A handful, but here's the point. Trump sent troops to the border. Obama sent troops to the border. Bush sent troops to the border. What's the difference of deploying forces to the border to secure it versus having them build a barrier while they're there?
Mm-hmm. Andra, how would you react to that?
So, you know, certainly as the head of the executive branch, President Trump can, you know, send people to the border as part of comprehensive security, as part, you know, arguably of national defense. There are budgetary line items that would actually help to pay for those kinds of things. But in terms of sort of a capital project like a wall, right, that's something that has to be debated, and it's been debated. And so right now, President Trump's allies in Congress have not been persuasive enough to persuade a majority of their colleagues to be able to vote to pay for the wall at the level that President Trump wants to be able to do this. So, part of this is that, you know, President Trump can get elected on this, and he can convince his constituents that this is a good idea. But one, we have to look at the national public opinion data that says that the majority of Americans are not convinced that this is necessary. And then is that also being reflected in the attitudes of the legislators who represent all of these constituents? So if there is to be a wall, I would argue that the proper way of going about doing this from a procedural standpoint is to convince a majority of members of Congress that this wall is necessary and to support this. And so that hasn't happened yet. And so let's not short-circuit the process that's there that actually allows for deliberation, that allows for persuasion, that allows for ideas to be tested in the marketplace of ideas. And that's not what we've seen happen yet. But in the marketplace of ideas, there are a number of different proposals to secure the border. I think it's really important to point out that even people who support the wall don't oppose measures to secure the border, to make it safe, and to make sure that we are promoting legal and not illegal immigration. So, you know, there are lots of ways to secure the border. So personnel is an issue that has come up. People have talked about technology in terms of sensors. And so if those issues are coming up, those actually get a lot more support congressionally from leaders. And so those things should, you know, be pursued. And it's true. There are almost 700 miles of wall already along that border. That's more than 2,000 miles long. There's some places where it doesn't make sense to have a border because there are rivers, because there are mountains. So you're going to have to use all of these strategies. And so the wall sort of sounds nice and it sounds simple, but I think we have to ask ourselves at this point, since there isn't consensus to be able to build the type of wall that President Trump wants to build, whether or not he's encountering this opposition for politics' sake or because the idea needs more vetting. And if the idea was vetted more, perhaps the end proposal would be something that doesn't look like all wall all the time. And we've even seen President Trump back off from that. But we need to have a conversation about this, about sort of what's motivating sort of calling for the wall as the primary protector, and then whether or not that barrier is actually most effective in terms of being able to address the problems. I mean, and we haven't even begun to talk about port security and talked about the things about drug interdiction that are actually really a problem and that a wall probably isn't going to fix.
So, Andra, what should we here in Wisconsin be watching for on this national emergency declaration and the politics behind it as we watch Congress this week?
So one of the things I would pay attention to is the margin, because that is a harbinger of whether or not a possibility of a veto override is even plausible. Does it mean that you could sort of, you know, something could pass narrowly on the first go round and then, you know, you couldn't get more votes on a veto override later on? But, you know, one of the things is that, you know, if this passes with, you know, 55% of the vote or 60% of the vote, sort of how close is that to the 67%, the supermajority that you need in order to be able to get it past President Trump's veto. Then the other thing to pay attention to, and I think what a lot of people anticipate, is that assuming Congress can't override President Trump's veto of the resolution, I think a bigger question will be sort of, you know, what is this going to look like in the judicial system? So that's the other check on the executive branch. And so, you know, we already know that a number of states have been bringing forward lawsuits to protest the border wall. So what we expect is that if Congress can't stop this wall, there would likely be an injunction that comes out of the federal courts. And so once we see that and we see what rationale judges use to enjoin the wall, we'll see whether or not that can, you know, hold muster as it works its way through the court system and probably up to the Supreme Court.
Andra, before we have to let you go, can we take a look very quickly here at the special counsel Robert Mueller's probe? There was reports that came out saying that he was going to release a report. Now he's not expected to deliver his findings to the Justice Department this week. But despite that, some lawmakers are using this willy won't he anticipation for this public report. And let's hear Senator Kamala Harris of California.
This is an extraordinary moment in terms of the need that the special counsel has to investigate the conduct of the president of the United States campaign and issues surrounding it. I believe that, given in particular all the misinformation that we can, I think rightly believe we've heard, that it is important that the American public receive as much information and that we be as transparent as possible.
So where is this report, and will Americans see it?
The Mueller team isn't releasing it this week, in part because President Trump is headed to Vietnam to the summit with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. So, just sort of in deference to the international diplomacy that's going on this week, Mueller is not going to sort of present a distraction there. We only know from reports that that it's close to being done, so we don't know exactly sort of, when this report is going to be done yet. What we do know is that by statute, Mueller has to present the report to the Attorney General, and then Bob Barr will make the decision about how much of the report is going to be released. There's some stuff that should not be released if it really is highly confidential, and then it becomes a question about whether or not they are selective in terms of what else gets released.
Andra, thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Andra Gillespie is an associate professor of political science at Emory University. Coming up next, we learn about a documentary that unearthed pre-World War II footage of a Nazi rally in New York. It got an Oscar nomination. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on the Ideas Network.